We're going to challenge that today. Because the truth of the matter is it's so much easier to say and to sing than it is to live it. I remember right where I was in the 1980s, I was at my mom and my dad's house, and the Cleveland Browns were playing. And the Cleveland Browns are out there playing, and I was with my brother-in-law, Clay, and the Cleveland Browns, with about 2 minutes left, had just scored and taken the lead over the Denver Broncos. You know what's coming. But at that time, we didn't know what was coming, Nick. We didn't know what was coming. We didn't know what was happening. And my, yes, we did. But my brother-in-law, Clay, starts dancing like a little fairy. He's jumping up and down, and he's dancing. He's like, we're going to the Super Bowl. We're going. And I'm looking at him, and I wasn't singing because I'm not that fruity. But he was, like, dancing and singing to it. And I'm like, yes, yeah, we're going to the Super Bowl. And then there was the drive. You know, the drive. If I don't have to tell you more than that, where Elway came back and beat the snot out of the Browns and ripped our hearts right out, or whatever else you want to say. Have you ever celebrated too early? You ever celebrated too early? You think you got the job, you think it's down pat, you think your team's won, you think you got the girl, whatever it might be. Have you ever celebrated too early? That was what the Lord put on my heart at the beginning of this year. Today, I'm doing the second in a five messages that, remember at the beginning of the year, 2015, we had a time of prayer and fasting for an entire week. And every one of those days, I took the time to say, okay, Lord, what is it that you want me to do? What is it that you want me to say to your people? And there, part of the problem with Christians is we celebrate too early. It's like, we know Christ. You know, we're saved, we have a relationship with Jesus, we're going to heaven, but a couple problems we have is our eyes begin to look on what's in it for us. You come to church for what's in it for me, and you stop thinking about the very purpose and the reason that Jesus gave his life for somebody else. The second thing that I see as I talk about it, maybe a problem the church begins to have is we want our way. We want our way because that's what's easy for us. We don't like change, and we don't like something that makes us uncomfortable. See, there is a natural gravity in every human being, and it's in Christians too. The natural gravity is to do what's easy and best for you. It just naturally pulls us in that direction. It's that way at work. It's that way in any relationship. But as Christians, we're supposed to have been set free from that and at least know that at certain times it's not about what's comfortable for me. And if this church going on 3 years is going to be the church God wants us to do, we have to be careful, because after 3 years, that gravitational pull starts pulling us back to what we want rather than what it was like when we first started this church. So in this passage, on every week, you'll see on the back side of the program, you'll see the five things. You guys all have them on a yellow sheet. If you don't, there's extra ones. These are what we are praying for and praying through. This is the one where John, in the 10th chapter, verse 16, he said, I have other sheep that are not of this pen. And we got to make room for them. And as I looked at that, I just sensed to myself, it's not time to celebrate yet. Make room. And at that time, honestly, I didn't know what the Lord meant when he said make room. My thought was, oh, we'll put an addition on. That's the first thing I thought about. But churches have this gravitational pull to think only of themselves. Guess what? The money that we're raising to go towards the purchase of an LED sign out front has nothing to do with us. You don't need to see anything. You don't need to know anything. You got all the communication you need. Email, in the program, there's a calendar. It is for others. Thank you to all of you throughout this May, and others people have asked if they can go back, that are giving towards that above and beyond tithe. Thank you so much. You get it. And that's the push of the board of this church and the directors. Get outside of ourselves. Who next can we reach for Jesus Christ? So let me give you four different things that I got from this passage of Scripture. If you're new to Lifeline, there is a set of notes in your program. What color are they? Blue today? Yeah, they're blue right there. There they are here too. So grab a pen or something like that and follow along with me. John, the 10th chapter, verse 11, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. This happens in churches a lot. You know, the preacher's not the shepherd. The elder board's not the shepherd. I don't know what's happening. Everybody here, you got a church experience, no doubt about it, but it's about the good shepherd. If you keep your eyes on him, you'll never go wrong. You start looking at man, me, whoever it might be, there's a good possibility you will be disappointed. Get to know the good shepherd. So number one, as I read through this, I sensed the Lord saying to me, make room for pre-Christians. Now, why do I say that? I'll tell you in just a minute. Can you just hang on to that for just, instead of saying non-Christian, I said pre-Christian, number one, in my heart. Will you and I make room for pre-Christians in our heart? Notice the focus is on no man here. The focus is on Jesus Christ. Do I see Jesus as my good shepherd? Do I see Jesus as my good shepherd? Do I know him as my good shepherd? Or is he just whatever? Am I just kind of stuck in religion or whatever it is? And so if Jesus is my good shepherd, and I mean good because the Bible says there's only one good, right? Only God's good. If he is good and if he's my shepherd and he leads me, guides me, you know what that means? As a shepherd, sometimes he leads me to quiet and still pastures. Other time he takes his little rod and gives me a little rap on the butt. That's what a shepherd does. Sometimes we want a good shepherd that's only kind to us. The good shepherd, he's good, and you've learned, even through discipline, my God is good to me. So I ask myself the question, is there any room? Are we celebrating so early that there's no room in our hearts for the Jesus who laid down his life? Is there any room in your heart, in my heart, for people who are lost, who will spend an eternity without Christ? Now, Jesus said he's the good shepherd. I drive a good car. I like Toyotas. I do. I've been told by some people it's not very American, whatever. Whatever. I mean, you have your opinion. I have people that think you should drive. And so if somebody's getting ready to buy a car, guess what I'm going to steer them towards? I'm going to steer them towards Toyota. A couple of my kids, my wife has a Toyota. Daniela has a Toyota. Elizabeth has a Toyota. Joshua's a rebel. He has an Impala. If you come to me to talk to me, and if I hear that you're looking for a car, I'll give you my testimony about my Impala. So, I mean, I think my car is good. And wouldn't it be kind of like idiotic to say that I'm ashamed to talk to you about Jesus and yet I have a good car? Oh, I'll tell anybody who wants to listen. Isn't there something about Jesus that's hard to talk to people about? He's the good shepherd, but is he the good shepherd to me? See, it's really the epitome of stupidity if I'm ashamed to tell people about Toyota yet, hey, you want to know about my good shepherd? In all of our lives, we are around all kinds of people, and there's this thought that you and I interact with people at work, on the school board, in the neighborhood, in the grocery store, wherever it's at. I was at Daniela's house the other day. The guy came across the street to talk to us. He asked a couple questions, this, that, the other. He wondered about a couple different things. I said, we're Christians. No, we would never do that. Opportunity, you know, to tell. I'm looking for an opportunity to tell about your faith and to tell about Jesus Christ. See, are we so ashamed of Jesus that though there are the majority of people around us who will spend eternity without Christ, we don't even believe it, do we? Jesus said, most of the people we know will not spend eternity in heaven. Those are not my words. If you can find something different, I'd love to see it. Jesus said, very few find the way, and narrow is the road. I'm sorry, many go the wrong way, the wide way, and very few find the right way. My concern is we think most people that we meet, we interact with every day, well, we think they're going to heaven when they die because they're kind of nice people. That's a lie from hell. You check it out in the Bible yourself. We need to make room for pre-Christians in our hearts. It has to start in our hearts. This church is 3 years old. We're at the perfect time for us to start thinking about ourselves. Start thinking about what we want. Start making sure that the budget does just what we want. Number two, as I look at this passage here, I just looked at verses 11 through 13. It says, make room for pre-Christians in my life. The good shepherd laid down his life. Now, you do know that the good shepherd asked you to lay down your life, right? I know that's what he teaches. You know that's what he teaches. That's what we've been studying as we've been going through the book, The Radical, this year. If you don't have a copy of it, get a copy of it. This Wednesday and Thursday, we're going over chapter 3. Even if you haven't opened it, come and take a look at it with us. Thursday here, Wednesday out at Lifehouse. You see, I ask myself the question, is there any room in my life for the things that I do for somebody who is a pre-Christian? Because Jesus laid down his life for them. And I ask myself the question, are you acting like the hired hand sometimes, Evan? You know, the hired hand who doesn't own the sheep and only cares about what he gets out of it, you know, a paycheck. You know, what does the hired hand do when trouble comes and a wolf comes? He bails. He bails. Are you a bailer?
No.
All right, Aiden. Preach it, baby. Kid is an example for all of you here today. You know what? A bailer is somebody that when things go bad, you blame God. As if you don't live in a world that you don't understand that happens. What went wrong with Jesus then? Since everything seemed to be so bad, he did not want to love people. I'm going to ask a question again. Are you a bailer? Let's hear it, Aiden.
I'm not.
He's not. Are you only going to follow Jesus Christ when things go well? Isn't it interesting? God says in several places, and the little children will lead them. Is there any room in my life? You know, I'm saved. That's all that matters. When I ask myself the question, and I'll ask you this question, when is the last time you or I used any of our assets, any of the things that God has placed in our hands, to try to be a witness to somebody for Christ, to try to be a testimony, to try to get an opportunity to possibly tell somebody about Jesus Christ? When is the last time I opened up my home and had people in there that, man, they might use bad language. They might say or do something. How in the world? I was that way for 24 years. Somebody took a chance on me. When is the last time we opened up our homes with the purpose and the intent? Of course, you worked for your home, and it's yours, and you paid for it. So, I mean, it really isn't God's anyway, is it? When is the last time I used my money? I used my money and said, Lord, this is in my pocket. Wherever you want it, whatever you want to do, you own everything that I have. It's an exciting way to live. Put 20 bucks in your pocket. Put 100 bucks in your pocket and say, Jesus, where do you want this to go? When is the last time you, for those, you know, all of you who tithe and all of you give here and all of you who've given above your tithe to pay for the sign and the chairs and other things, it's going towards getting outside of ourselves corporately. When is the last time I used my skills? I know somebody who is an attorney. I know somebody who works in paving, and I know several people in the medical field. All of them don't want to do the other person's job, but sometimes or another, everybody wishes some. You know, it's like always greener on the other side. Everybody always wants to do something else. God has put you where he has put you. Remember what we've learned in Radical? And in Radical, we're supposed to take what we have, whatever opportunity we have, forget about what you don't have, whatever opportunity you have, and use it to bring glory to God. All three of those I can think about right now, they use what they have to bring glory to God. Why would the Candace say, yeah, come on down, use our facility anytime? And just about anybody that wants to do that can. That's one of the purposes and the reasons they bought that. And even before Elizabeth made the announcement, she said, yeah, you're welcome to come down anytime. Met somebody, I think, in the parking lot. Yeah, come on down. You probably have 50,000 people down there today. Always call, be respectful. So in my life, is there anything that I'm using? We're getting ready to do an outreach, and we're going to do a free car wash the day before Father's Day. And the whole purpose of that is to just let people know we're here. We're not charging anything. We don't want anything. We're not taking any donations. We might even cook some hot dogs and pass them out, whatever it is. Dave Eisenhuth, he's our outreach. See him. Be a part of that. That Saturday morning, for an hour or two, you can give an hour or two, but I know you got a lot of time to do a lot of other things that day. In my life, make room in my life, in your life, for pre-Christians in a practical way. In a very practical way, will you please make sure that you make room? Look at verse 14 with me. Jesus goes on and says, I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Would you circle those two words? Will you circle those two words, know, and just connect them together? Jesus said, I know my sheep. Let me ask you a question. Are you a sheep? Are you known by God? That's the question. The question is, do you know him? I mean, just as the Father, he says in verse 15, knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. Let's look at two things here now. Number three in your notes, would you put, make room for pre-Christians in my prayers. Make room for a pre-Christian in my prayers. See, there's this special relationship that Jesus is saying, I know my sheep. And he says, this is the same relationship that I have with my Father. That is the relationship. Folks, you have entryway into the throne room. Are you claiming it? Do you know it? Is it a part of your life? Do you have a great relationship? Does Good Shepherd know you, and do you know him? Because ultimately, when two people know something like that kind of relationship, they communicate. And guess what that's called in the Bible? Prayer. You know, Jesus talks to his Father. We have a great relationship. He knows me. I know. And therefore, the more you study the Scriptures and the more you walk with Christ, you have a relationship where in your prayer life, you begin to think about pre-Christians. You know, in pre-Christians, I ask myself the question, what are the names of the people that I have on my prayer list of people who don't know Christ? I ask myself that question. I ask you that question. You know, it's interesting that anything that's important to me, especially since I'm getting old, I make a list for. If I don't make a list, I forget half of them. Larry asked me to talk to the board about something. I didn't write it down. He asked me this morning. I do it. Nope, didn't make a list, Larry. You know? My wife sends me out to wherever, Walmart, whatever it is. Only three items. I can remember those three. Hon, what was the third thing on that list? Thank goodness for cell phones. Anything that's important to me, I make a list. I don't want to forget anybody or anything. Who's on your prayer list that doesn't know Jesus? Do you got it written down anywhere? I mean, how do you know how often you pray for someone? One thing that I do is Monday through Friday, I split up family and people that I know and this, and I put their name down. But the cool thing is everybody here has access to the prayer team. And week after week, an announcement is made about prayers. Do you know what's interesting? If you have somebody sick in your family, you'll want prayer for them because you want them to physically be healed. But it's very disheartening to see how few people put a prayer request in for somebody who's lost. You'll have a chance today. Today's not over. It's amazing. There's one guy who comes here. Week after week after week, the prayer team gets his prayer request for his wife. You know, it's almost like, would you just give us a break? But no, he's not. He's pounding the gates of heaven until something changes. One out of over 100 people. You got nobody that you want people interceding for? Fill out a prayer request. There's a place out in the hallway to put the prayer request in. Are we more concerned about people's physical healing than their spiritual healing? This is a little burr that I have always in my saddle. Even we pray for Christians that get sick, want them to be healed, great, but we won't put a prayer request on for somebody who, Jesus said, bind them hand and feet, throw them out into utter darkness where they'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Is there any room in my prayer life? Is anybody's name on the press? Maybe you don't have a prayer list, and therefore you keep forgetting. If you have a prayer list for nothing else, pray for something. You know, last week got a prayer list from Lifehouse after we talked about this. There must have been probably 20 names on it. And how do you pray for somebody you don't know? You know, it's very interesting. When I pick a name out and I see and I start praying through the whole list, I just relate it to somebody I know. It's really helped me a lot. I look at it and I say, Mike, I don't know that Mike, but I know this Mike. And you pray according to maybe a relationship that you know from somebody else you know in your mind. Any room on your prayer life? Number four, make room for pre-Christians. Number one, in my heart. Number two, in my life, in my prayers. And number four, in my church. In my church. You see, Jesus says, I have other sheep that I want in the sheep pen. They will listen to my voice. Now, when I was 22, 23 years old, I was one of them that Jesus knew would hear his voice. And people began to reach out to me. People began to challenge me on the church I went to. People began to challenge me on if I read the scriptures or whatever. And I went to a church who cared about the lost and then growing the lost, discipling them. Jesus has other sheep he wants in the sheep pen. What's a picture of the sheep pen? It's where other sheep are. What's the sheep pen then? It's the church. The church. It has to do with us. See, you can't make somebody else do anything. You just can't make them. Unless you have a gun to their head, and then really they're doing it on the outside and on the inside. I can't sit here today and tell everybody here, hey, you have to do what's uncomfortable. But it's still my job to tell you. Because unless this church continues on the path of what we did when at first. See, when you're brand new, everybody's involved. Everybody's there. Oh, this the life of this church depends on us being involved and our giving and everything else. 3 years down the road, I've done this three times now, everybody. It's like a little gravitational pull in the direction of what's comfortable with me. It's beautiful outside today. You know one of the five aspects of Christianity is fellowship. 15 minutes down the hall. 15 minutes. Cup of coffee, something to drink. 15 minutes. You call yourself a Christian and you call this your church and you won't ever stick around for 15 minutes of fellowship? Some people longer than that. Do you know what the purpose of that is? It's not for you. There's somebody down there that needs you. So here's your prayer as you come to church every Sunday. Lord, what is it I can do for somebody else? Use me in some way. I have prayed that prayer before I was ever a pastor. Amazingly, God would almost always use in some small way, some big, whatever. You know what sometimes what my goal was, what my purpose was? Maria was talking to somebody. She was ministering to somebody, helping somebody. I sat in the car with the kids. That's what I was supposed to do. Fellowship. You think, and guys especially, we don't like to fellowship or talk, whatever, want to go home and get ready to cut the grass or do this, whatever. And of course, today's the Lord's Day. It's not family day, right? Today's the Sabbath. It's the Lord's Day. 15 minutes of fellowship. Five aspects of Christianity that pull against us. Number one is fellowship. Number two is prayer. Number three is tithing. Four is serving. And five is Bible study. If you don't care about studying the Bible, I question where you're at. Now, let me back up a little bit because this is a little bit tough. Today is Memorial Day. And I know sometimes all I'm doing is reminding you. And I want to have that spirit today. I want to remind you because when I came in and I saw Tom and Andy in their shirts, I was like, man, what am I doing with green on? It's Memorial Day. The problem is Maria was at work. So as Maria went to work, I don't know what to wear. So don't look at what color my socks are, please. But I saw them and I thought, I forgot today was Memorial Day. I should go home and change. And I thought, nah, you're just going to be an illustration today, Evan. And I know today what I'm talking to you about, it's not my purpose and intent to make you feel guilty. If the Spirit does, that's fine. I guess I just want to remind you, maybe you've forgotten about fellowship and prayer and Bible study. Our Bible study on Thursday nights is down to about five women. Help, men. Help. Help! I want to remind you of these things. These are the things that Jesus gave his life for. I want you to be a part of them. I want you to make sure the gravitational pull doesn't ruin this church so that we become like every other church. They come there for themselves. See, we are making room in this church for other sheep. In our church, we can't be afraid to say, you are welcome here, even though some of the things I talk to you about may make you uncomfortable. Where would we be if Jesus did what made him comfortable? In your notes, I have the statement, our chance to make a difference. You see, there are many, many churches who will not make room for pre-Christians. They don't like what they wear. They don't like how they smell. They don't like the language that they use. But in our church, we say belong first. We want you to belong here. Jesus hung out with sinners. For some reason, they felt different about him than the people who were religious. We want people to say, hey, I'm welcome there. Whatever they're doing, whatever, that's all. That's not your job. Just let them know they can belong here and that they're cared about. Then they move to the believe. When they believe, then they learn how to behave. You know what happens in many churches? They got it all wrong. Unless you behave, you're not welcome in this church. Well, that may that never happen in this church. I had no idea how to behave when I first started coming to church. What to say, this, that, that. I didn't know what to call it. I called it a mass. I didn't know. Our chance is made right now. See, there's high and mighty Christians, and they can't remember where they came from. They can't remember when they were lost. And that can't happen to you and to me. Last week, I spoke to a young couple. They both had crazy experiences in their young churches. One of them ended up in a cult. The other one ended up out of church altogether. And he told me he grew up in a small church. He says, whenever a prayer request was made, everybody in the church knew about it. It was vocal. It was boom. Everybody knew about it. And so he said, I'm never standing up here and asking for a prayer request. And that's the attitude he had of this small little church that wouldn't accept anybody and knew. And anybody that came there, you kind of had to follow along what they do. They thought about what was good for them. They sang all the music that was good for them. And everybody that walked in was like, I'm never coming back here. Thank you to those who work at the door and greet. Thank you to those who work in the parking lot, because you're our first impression. You're the most important in this church here today. Look at verse 17. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. Now let me ask you a question. Did Jesus make the command to you and to me to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice? Did he make the command to die to yourself daily and find out what God wants us to do? The same command that gave life to you and to me, Jesus saying, I will give up my life, is what now has to happen. If you think the sacrifice of Jesus is enough for everybody else, you don't get the fact that we're called to be witnesses to the world. He needs us. Why? I don't know. I think it's a bad idea, to be honest with you, but he needs us. And somehow or another, when human beings see human beings like us that don't have to have our way and live a selfless life, it makes them either like, wow, I'd like to be like that, or they're like, stay away from me, you're weird. Jesus was made in his Father's image because he was his Father. And you are made in his image. Therefore, when he says, I have the authority to lay it down and take it up, guess what? So do you. Nobody can force you to fellowship, to tithe, to pray, to go to Bible study. I can't force you to do those five Christian important things, but it is a part of denying yourself. Getting out early to go do something at home is not. Skipping Thursday night study or the other studies that we have here so you can do something convenient, it is not. You're welcome to come here, but that doesn't make this church your church then. Read the book of Acts and find out what was happening. I look down here, and one last thing in your notes there. Would you fill it in with me? There's the asterisk there. It's the central point of what I want to say to you today. Will you lay down your life for someone's eternity? Because that is what it comes down to. Will you lay down your life for someone's eternity? I want you to hear me right now. I'm going to show you a video. I'm going to open the altar today. What does that mean? The altar is a place where we come and we say, oh, I forgot to wear the right shirt, Lord. I forgot about fellowship. I forgot about that. I give myself to you, because the worship team, in a minute, not right now, they're going to come and they're going to play that song. I give myself away. Because that makes a dynamic church, not a big mouth up front. Dynamic churches have people that do ministry. And that's what it teaches in Ephesians 4, 11, and 12. I'm here to help you find ministry and do it for the works of service for the saints. I want you to take a look. In this picture here, I know it's a sports picture again, but I ask myself the question, I ask you, will you inconvenience yourself for the betterment of the entire team? It is so easy for Christians to play the game the way that they want and to play the game that benefits them the most. Keep the ball. You know, just do it myself. This is how I play soccer. This is how I play church. This is how I do my Christianity. The only problem is that's not the biblical way. It's not God's way. It's not Christ's way. Truth of the matter is we all need each other. And the name on the front, Evan, whatever it might be, isn't as important as Jesus Christ. Around here, we pass the ball. It's what makes us a great church, a thriving church. people find their gifts and they serve. No matter how big or how small, it's just a matter of all of us say, this is my church and I serve. Probably one of the greatest ministries we have on Sunday mornings is children's ministry. I would love to begin to see some men step up and say, let me be a part of influencing young men, young boys, young girls for Jesus Christ. So let's cause the Father to pour out his love on Lifeline. Before and after church, find somebody you don't know. Don't forget high five is for finding somebody you don't know. Say hi to them. It's so dangerous. It's so easy to fall into just thinking about ourselves and talking to our own friends. The worship team, they're going to come now, and I just want to know, will you spend some time at the altar with Jesus? Will you give yourself to make God's church the church that he wants it to be? What's the altar? The altar is a place that God created where he met with human beings. It's a super cool place to be. It's a super cool place to be in regards to the fact that you can come and you can just sit and talk to him. Maybe you can say, I forgot some of that stuff, Lord, or now I commit myself to you. Do me a favor and kill those lights right up there. I just want to close with this story so that you know how important it is and how easy it is to be caught up into a place where you just get to the place where the gravitational pull is towards you. Several weeks back, a young girl was baptized. She got saved several months ago. She got baptized with 10 people that got baptized. A couple weeks later, her mom came to a church event. Her mom came to a church event, and people were all sitting around talking at the church, and I'm not going to say if it was Lifehouse, Lifeline, it doesn't much matter. But as she was sitting there, and at the end of the event, I said, you know, which I always say, I say, you know, now make sure you get up and talk to somebody and fellowship with somebody. And maybe somebody has a prayer request that you can talk to or this or that or whatever. So as soon as it was over, I closed everything up. All of the Christians at that event turned to each other, started talking to all the people that they knew. This young girl and her mom got up and walked out, and nobody said a word to him. Don't think it can't happen to us. It is happening to us. Don't think it can't happen to you. It is. Jesus gave his life. Our lives are not our own. As they sing this song, I asked them to maybe just cut it down a little bit volume-wise. I give myself away. I must spend some time on my knees. Will you spend some time on your knees? Will you come to the altar today? Not worry about, oh, somebody's next to me, this, that, the other. They'll move. Just don't do one thing that will eventually squelch God speaking to you. If he's speaking to you about come to the altar, don't say no. Eventually you won't hear his voice.